have come, Lord, with a hurting heart. And some have come, Lord, with questions. And others still come needing encouragement. But Lord, we know that you know all things. And so we cast our cares on you. For you said that you care for us. And so, Lord, we know that you know all things and that you do all things well. So our prayer is, Father God, that you would fill us this day. Give us that which we're in need of. Open our hearts and our minds to receive from you this day. My prayer is, Father God, that you would decrease me and that you would increase the Holy Spirit, that you would hide me behind the cross, that you would think with my mind and speak with my mouth, that the words that I would speak would not be of me, but they would be of you, and that they would go forth with clarity and with power. Hide me behind the cross. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And we'll be quick and careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Now, these and all other things we do ask and do pray in Jesus' mighty name. And we all do say, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen, amen. All right, I'm feeling kind of good today, so amen. I might let y'all go at one. No, I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't do that. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Since the beginning of the year, we have, when you have it, please be good and kind enough to stand if you're able. And as a matter of fact, if you got your Bibles, wave them in the air. And those of you who don't, shame on you. Shame on you. Can't tell the players without a program. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And for those of you who don't have a Bible, we have been good and kind enough. Sister Benjamin has been good and kind enough. Amen. 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 And, you know, every so often, Sister Phyllis need a break. Amen. And so Sister Tracy steps in, and she has stepped in well. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for the work that you do. Amen. Now, I've given you enough time to get there. It's page 1734 in my Bible. Amen. And so it reads on this wise, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And for a few moments of your time, we just want to talk from the idea or the theme, prayer brings peace of mind. Amen. Prayer brings peace of mind. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Prayer brings peace of mind. A lot of the time when Christians will quote a scripture, we fail to truly understand what it is that the writer was attempting to convey. And while most of the time it's not a fatal misreading, or even understanding, it is not a full and complete understanding of what it is that the writer was attempting to get across to us. We read, but oftentimes we'll read with a surface reading. And then sometimes it just gets good to the ear, and you know, you just run with it.
Right.
Let me see if I can give you an example of this. Has this ever happened to you? A friend tells you that they're going to Starbucks, and they say, well, do you want anything from Starbucks? And you say, well, you know what? Yeah, I do. I want something from Starbucks. And so you say, you know what? Go get me that grande chai tea latte, whipped cream, no foam. And so, you know, they get your order, right? And they make their way to the Starbucks. They get to the Starbucks, they place their order, they place your order, and then after they get the coffees, they turn around and they make their way back to you, right? And so I got to see it before y'all did. And so when they make their way back to you, right, they present you with a grande chai tea latte no whipped cream, and no foam. Now, you have a choice at this point. You can tell them about the failure of failing to get your order right, or what you do is you go to your refrigerator where you keep your whipped cream for emergencies just like this, and put your whipped cream in your chai tea. In other words, you still got your latte. It wasn't exactly as what it was that you wanted, but guess what? You still enjoyed it. Amen? Amen. And so that's oftentimes the point with our Bible reading. You have to sometimes go beyond just Bible reading and Bible study. See, Bible reading will get you, and it is good for you. You ought to read your Bible. But there's something about studying your Bible. It's kind of like the whipped cream. It just adds a depth of flavor to your chai tea latte. Your Bible study adds a depth of wisdom to your Bible reading. And so although you don't get, or you might not miss a whole lot, yeah, you miss something when you don't study, but if you simply read the word sometimes, it's enough to get you going. Amen? Amen. Some time ago when we were going through what we were going through last year, you know, you remember last year, right? Some of y'all don't want to remember last year. Amen. Because last year may not have been good for you. But last year, we went through some challenges here. We had some things taken from us. We were feeling, truth be told, some of us were feeling afraid. Amen. Some of us were feeling afraid. And so at the beginning of the year, we said, okay, we're going to enter into a fast. And there were four areas that I asked that we would pray in. And one of those four areas was what? Peace that would surpass all understanding. Now, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with praying for peace. Matter of fact, I think more people ought to pray for peace. Amen. But as we'll find out today, Paul is talking about more than just praying for peace. He's talking about a whole nother depth of flavor that as you begin to read the text, you find out Paul is not just talking about praying for peace, but it's not just prayers for peace, but right praying that brings about peace. So that was my sentence sermon. So if you don't get nothing else and you get the sentence sermon, you got the sermon. So if you haven't given up on me, if you haven't thrown in the white flag of surrender, if you let's just go to the scripture and open up the scripture and see what God has to say to us today. If you're making down, if you're taking notes, your first note would be the primacy of prayer. The primacy of prayer. Be anxious. Paul tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now, towards the end of the letter, this is the fourth chapter of a four-chapter letter. Now, you know, realize that when Paul was writing this, he didn't put no, like, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. He didn't put no verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. No, we did that as we mean the theologians, seminarians, when they were going through Paul's letter, they say, well, what could we do so that people might be able to better read and follow what it is that people wrote? And so what they did was they created chapters and verses. And so for our purposes, it makes it easier, doesn't it? That if everything has a chapter and a verse, you can find it. It's not like when you write your letter, do you put like chapters and verses in your letter? I hope not, because I ain't reading your letter. Because then that's kind of spooky scary. Amen. But here we have chapters and verses so that we might quickly find certain scriptures. And so what that does sometimes, it causes us to lose the flow of the letter. Amen. Amen. It causes us to lose the flow of the letter. And so oftentimes what we'll do is we'll pick verses out of context, not realizing that you need to know what was above and what was below. And so as in this particular case, people will pull it out. Oh, I need the peace that surpasses all understanding. And you probably do. But with this, what we'll do, I tell people all the time, you know, I have no problem with you falling asleep in church. I don't. Because I just feel that if you got that much hell going on at home and you can't sleep, and if you can come to church and get some sleep, bless your heart. But what Paul tells us here, the very first line, he says, be anxious for nothing. And you realize that if you look at the original Greek, and that's my job to look at the original Greek. If you look at the original Greek, both what Paul says here in this first sentence, all of this is what is called an imperative. He's just not suggesting that you don't be anxious. He is telling you not to be anxious. And then not only that, in other words, what he's saying is don't trip. Stop worrying. Stop pulling out your hair. Stop getting up in arms about people you cannot control and situations you can't run. What Paul says is that this, while we know that stress, some stress is good, right? That's how you build muscle, is through stress. But you know you get too much stress and stress will kill you. Stress is a great muscle builder, but it ain't good to keep living on. Matter of fact, there's a story that was told about a little boy. There's a little boy by the city gate. And he would go by the city gate every day. And so at that city gate, he watched people come in and come out of in and out of the city. So one morning, and he sees Death come riding in on a horse. And the little boy says to Death, Death, who are you here for? And Death turns to the little boy and he tells him, well, I'm here to take 10,000 souls. And the little boy leaves his place at the gate. And anybody who would listen to the little boy, he went out and told him, Death is here. Death is coming. Death is coming. And so sure enough, Death did what Death does. Death took over 20,000 souls that night alone. And so the little boy, again at his post at the gate, sees Death coming out of the city. And he says, Death, I don't know what kind of boy this is. You know, anybody who can talk to Death. And then Death don't get you. Little boy turns to Death and he says, Death, I thought you said you was only coming for 10,000. Death said, I was only coming for 10,000. But when the other 10,000 heard you say that I was in town, they got to worrying, and they worried themselves to death. I just came by to let you know that you can worry yourself to death. Paul commands us not to worry, but he also then commands us to pray. Paul says, but in everything, I can say all things. Matter of fact, I can say everything covers all things. Matter of fact, I don't think there's anything that's not covered under all or even everything. All is all, and everything is everything. Paul says, in everything, put your trust in God. He says, so there's nothing that you cannot put in God's hands. So if you got a husband that's tripping out, that's fine. Put him in God's hands. If your wife is tripping, put her in God's hands. If your children have lost their living minds, before you kick them out, put them in God's hands. Put all the things that are so easily beset you in God's hands. And put all your problems, your cares, your anxiousness, all that in God's hands. Why? Because God tells you, cast all your cares on me. Why? Because I care for you. And when you learn to call out to God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, God says, let me know what's on your mind. You know what? There's a good saying that I grew up with that says, a closed mouth don't get fed. I mean, look, y'all act like y'all ain't black. There you go, John. John is Filipino. A closed mouth don't get fed. If you don't say nothing, he ain't gonna do nothing. Because God just, you know, God is a gentleman. He don't override you. He don't just say, okay, I know you need this, so I'm gonna give this to you. No, he's a gentleman. He gonna wait till you ask. And some of y'all be like, well, God know my heart. Yeah, he know your heart, but he waiting for you to what? To ask. Matter of fact, just the same was true with you and your kids, right? Amen. You know, sometimes you get dinner come to the table kind of late. You just be like that sometime, right? But them jokers will come and tell you, we hungry. You know, and if they say it the right way, you'd be like, okay, well, just here's some Oreos. Dinner be up in a minute. Don't act like that ain't never happened. Closed mouths don't get fed. Jesus knows everything. Yes, God knows everything. The Holy Spirit, which resides within you, knows everything. But he needs you to what? Verbalize, to ask. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is just simply you what? Carrying on a relationship. Number one, God says that we ought to pray because prayer brings peace. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. The reason we pray is not so much for peace, although we may desire peace. And as we pray, matter of fact, my friend, Dr. Fred Campbell, he might say that so that we might have a robust relationship with the Redeemer. That's the reason why you would pray. It's just like any other relationship. Amen. If you have a husband, a wife, you've been married any one time. Matter of fact, you ain't even got to be married. Morrissey and Morrissey's girlfriend. Y'all ain't got to be married no amount of time. But the fact of the matter is that if you want the relationship to work, people got to talk. How else are they going to know that, you know, you like roses? And how else are they going to know that you like, you know, I like my rice smothered? Oh, I'm sorry. You smother the chicken and you put it on the rice. Okay, all right. I got that backwards, huh? I've just been eating gravy and rice. But the point is that if you never voice that, you know, I got some black eyed peas waiting on me at home. I got to hurry up and finish. But unless you ever say what it is that you want, nobody's going to act on it. Nobody's going to even know, and much less even care if you never say. I have a wonderful gardener. He come out, he cut my grass. Half the time I don't have to talk to him. Amen. He said, grass cut. You know, but I needed a tree to be trimmed a little bit. So how, you know, if I needed the tree to be trimmed back a little bit, I have to what? I have to tell him. He don't read my mind. He just happened to cut my grass. Grass cut. But I need, and so what do? And you know what? Many of our prayers is sort of like that too. I'm talking to the gardener. He don't speak. He speak enough English to know that $60. I get $60. I get $60 at the beginning of the month, you know. And so, but he speaks just enough English for him to understand, you know what, I need you to do something with this tree. And I'm doing this, right? He's like, what is he doing? Is he praising the Lord or what? You know, but then I walk over here with him with the tree, and now I'm in front of the tree, right? And I'm going, he go. Right, so now I know that what he understood what it was that I asked of him. But don't y'all laugh, because y'all prayers be pretty much the same way. You don't know half the stuff you're asking for. You going through something and you think it's one thing when in fact it's something else. And you asking God to move in one way, come on now, and he's saying, no, you need to move in another way. This is what Paul is saying here. See, you want peace. But God is saying the only way you get peace is that you have to pray. And not only pray for peace, but talk to me all the time. Because when you talk to me all the time, then you begin to know what it is that I know in terms of what my will is for your life. Because if you don't ever ask me, I can't tell you. You need to spend some time with God in prayer. You know, it's kind of like that valley. You know the valley? Yeah, the one that you went to and you prayed all day. It got so good, come on now, and you stayed all day. Come on now, y'all act like y'all done forgot the song. Come on now, thank you. Thank you, Deacon, thank you. The peace of God is created in the crucible of prayer. In other words, you got to go on your knees and you got to grind. You got to put some time in. And just like any good relationship with anybody, your friend ain't your friend just because, no, because your friend is your friend because you spend time with your friends. You break bread with your friends. You hang out with your friends. You share some things together with your friends. Some of y'all probably should have never shared what you shared, but you shared it anyway. But with God, he's the type of friend, he don't tell nobody else what it is that you've told him. He knows all about you and everything that you've done. And yet and still, he is not only your friend, but he loves you. He knows all about you, all the crazy stuff you've done, all the things, all the bad checks you wrote. Y'all stop writing bad checks. All the things you stole, all the things that you did, you had no business being, all the places that you spent all night at. He knows all that. And yet and still, he still loves you. He loves you in spite of all that he knows about you. And yet and still, he loves you. You and loves you so much that he's willing to give you the peace of God. He knows that we know that he cares about us because you know what? Even when we were his enemies, he yet and still didn't take us out. While you were dead in your sins, running the streets, doing only God knows, he allowed mercy and let you live till you received him as his personal Lord and Savior. Don't you realize that that's probably the one reason why so many people are still alive today?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
By the mercy of God. You don't get the grace of God until after you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. At that point in time, you just living on mercy. And thank God for mercy, because if it hadn't been for mercy, you'd be dead lying in your grave. But because of the mercy of God, God allowed you to live as long as you live until one day you came into a saving knowledge of him. God is good. He loves you in spite of you. From the waters he lifted me, now safe at mine. But not only does prayer bring peace of mind, it brings peace of mind because of the person of peace. Bible says through Christ Jesus. I have this peace because Jesus bought it for me. He did this for me even before I knew who he was. Jesus did this for me before I even knew that there was a Jesus, even before I knew I was a sinner, before I knew I should be saved. He did this because he knew that one day raggedy old Stan was going to need Jesus to come save him. And because he loved me before I knew I needed a Savior, he died for me. Yeah. He put in place something that I would need in the future, even before I was a twinkle in anybody's eye. Over 2,000 years ago, matter of fact, the plan of salvation began even before some 2,000 years, even before God stepped out onto nothing, looked into nothing, and spoke into nothing, worlds without end, even before Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit said, let us make man in our image, he had already knew that Adam was going to drop the ball, that Adam was going to mess up, that Adam was going to do what he should not have done. Like I said, if I was God, I never would have made man. I was like, well, you asking too much. For me to redeem man, God has to send God to die for man. But yet and still, he made man anyway. Hold on. Wait a minute. Roll that back. God who knows everything, the omniscient God, the omnipotent God, the God who has all power, knows all things, and is in all places, at all times, knew that the creation that he was going to create was going to mess up. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was going to make something and I knew it was going to mess up, I wouldn't have made it. You know, that's a defective product. I don't know about you. I ain't in the business of buying defective products. If I get a hammer, I want to make sure the hammer, look, that's the best I could do right here, right now. If I get a hammer, I want to make sure that hammer will swing and that hammer will put a nail in a piece of wood. Why would I go get a hammer that ain't got a handle? An axe handle with no axe. But that's Adam. But he creates Adam anyway, knowing that somewhere along the line, God is going to have to send God the Son to die so that he can have relationship with man. He loves us even before we had enough sense to love him, because he's the God who loves his creation. And because he died, I can be his son. God sends his son to die for us so that I might have a right to be called his son. So that I can no longer be a slave to sin. So that I would no longer be subject to the cruelties of the world. So that I would no longer be constantly tempted by Satan and have no defense. But Jesus came and brought me from darkness into the marvelous light. Now, safe am I. In the midst of my trials and tribulations, the peace of God through Christ Jesus, who was my rock in a weary land. Jesus Christ, when my mother and my father forsake me, he's the peace of God through Christ Jesus. He's kept me in his everlasting arms. He is the God who sits high and looks low. He is the God who makes a way when there is no way. He is the God who keeps you company. He is the company keeper. When everybody else has given up on you, he's still in your corner. He'll pick you up, carry you if he has to. He is that type of God who, and everybody else has written you off and said you ain't no good and that you'll never be any good. He says, that's all right. I've got you in a place where I can do some things with you. You won't take credit for yourself. I have to wait till you hit rock bottom so the rock at the bottom can do something with you. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Why? Because he strengthens me. He waits till I'm at my weakest. Don't you understand why the patriarchs are the patriarchs? Abraham, Moses, Jacob. Why God wait so late in these guys' life before he did stuff? Well, the reason why is because he didn't want them taking credit for it. He said, Abraham, I'm going to wait till you. Bible says he was good as dead. I don't know about you, but you know at 100, if you able to do, then praise the Lord. But the Bible says that Abraham, who was as good as dead, God moves on a man who's as good as dead and moves on Sarah. Because you know what? If you know anything about men, right, you got to be looking at something for something to happen. Okay, I'm going to let y'all figure that out on your own. The word of God has gone forward and it's doing those things that God has purposed them to do. Some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of him. All right, Tracy, if you bring up my challenge, I appreciate. This is my challenge to you. Last week, I'm going to do this every week, but my first challenge to you is that you pray to your sinner friend. Pray for your sinner friend that they receive Jesus Christ. And so I'm quite sure you're used to me using this language, right? What is it that I've asked you to do? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're looking for you to go out and find individuals who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Be their friend. Now, that don't mean you hanging out where they hanging out. Don't mean you drinking and sucking up liquor where they're drinking and sucking it up at. But what it does mean is that there's going to be a time in their life where they're going to be looking at your witness, and they're going to ask you, you know, you keep telling me about this Jesus, you know, I'd like to meet him. And so I please, ma'am, please, sir, I want to encourage you, be serious about your witness for Christ. Be serious about sharing it. Matter of fact, I've asked you to, if you have a sinner friend, write their name on that card, on our prayer card, and put it in our prayer box. And we pray every Wednesday. But not only that, let's see, I've got about three